Hello, Capricorn, and welcome to Tarot Studio for your sign. Thank you for your patience. I have been working away all these months, as you know, on the intelligence readings, and now I'm between two readings and just two to go, and I thought I would set up the tarot shop and do a few readings. Yours is the first, and a good time to do that because of the exciting astrology this week. One of the things I like to do in Tarot Studio is offer some astrology afterthoughts first, and I do have a couple for you. One involves the full moon. Let's address that. That's on Wednesday, the 20th, so that's coming right up. Gee, that's coming right up the day after I'm doing this. Hopefully we'll get this out to you on Tuesday night. And the exciting thing about this full moon is that it highlights all of this astonishing astrology that's going on in Aries and Capricorn. And as you may have figured out, in my approach to astrology, I borrow a lot from the Uranian astrologers. That's a particular 20th century school of astrology. And Alice Bailey has a similar idea, which is to emphasize the cross of the zodiac on which things happen. So when Capricorn's on the same cross as Aries, Cancer, and Libra, that's the cardinal cross, your sign being one of the cardinal signs or cardinal points, one of the major four directions, so to say. And right now there is an extraordinary amount of activity on there. It's practically all I've been writing about. There is so much going on in Capricorn and going on in Aries that, first of all, they're all functioning as basically one system, with some information coming in from Libra and Cancer, the signs opposite those. And so there's a lot of energy moving in your life right now. And it to remind you, the most significant bits of that include the conjunction that is now developing rapidly of Saturn and Pluto. And this takes place in Capricorn, and it's exact on 1/12/20, right at the beginning of the last year of Saturn in Capricorn. By the end of 2020, Saturn, your ruling planet, is in Aquarius, another one of the signs that is ruled by Saturn. Yours is one, Aquarius is the other. This is from classical astrology. And this is the world clock, you might say. It's the thing that is determining the timing of just about everything that there is to determine timing of, because it is such a pivotal event. It is such a kind of a linchpin on which everything pivots. And we have less than 1 year till this approaches, about three seasons till this arrives. It is approaching. And one of the sensations of Saturn conjunct Pluto is the sensation of time running out. Pluto is named for the lord of the underworld from Roman mythology. Saturn has its own associations with chronological time and with limits and with the main structures that we live in life, one of which is the structure of time, which implies mortality. And so the combination of Saturn and Pluto can have this feeling of time running out, which is likely to increase as the two planets approach their conjunction, which as mentioned is in early 2020. And so it is important to be mindful of the use of time under this astrology, to pay attention to your concept of how much time you have, how much time things take, how much time you allocate things, what you believe about time, what you believe about how long you're going to live and why you believe that, and to make very conscious use of time. I'm looking at the chart for the equinox Libra full moon, and it you know, kind of snuck up on us, but this conjunction is now exact to within under three degrees, 2.5 degrees. So you're getting a taste of this, though Saturn is about to retrograde back. I'm not sure what day that starts, but it starts soon. And another thing modifying this astrology, which is about, you know, the urgency of the correct use of time, is the south node of the moon, which is passing through your sign as well. And that, first of all, indicates that eclipses are coming through Capricorn. And when eclipses are coming through Capricorn, there are themes like release. There are themes like your relationship to the past, and therefore with the south node, letting go of the past. And there can be an acceleration of events when the eclipses pass through your sign, and as it turns out, your opposite sign as well. That's how eclipses travel, is through sign pairs with following the lunar nodes. And so while there is a sense of time running out, which is in itself a kind of an acceleration, then there's also at the same time a sense of being thrust forward or being cut off from the past or releasing the past associated with the eclipses. And this combination of factors is likely to distort your sense of time and how much time and what time really means. And I just suggest being really conscious of how you think of time and the ideas about time that you accept as being true. Things like living in the moment. What does that really mean? What does the whole question of continuity between past, present, and future mean? And how exactly is it that we can alter the course of the flow of events and, in a sense, get on a different track of time? So these things we usually don't think of. Usually we're just wondering, you know, how long till my meeting starts, or when, you know, when do I have to make that flight in terms of the use of time, or, you know, how long do these cookies need to get baked for? Those can continue to remain important if you want to make your flight or not burn your cookies. However, it is time for a bigger idea of time, a more relevant idea of time. And I would say that the combination of Saturn, Pluto, and eclipses in your sign is a reminder to think in terms of your history. What about your history makes you you, and what trajectory do you want to alter? What do you want to change? What do you want to change about the way that you travel through time? The other message I have, and I keep thinking of this, and I've been waiting for a while to, you know, do this reading and deliver this one particular message. There is so much going on in Pisces right now that you need to be aware of, and I know I touched on this in the earlier part of the reading, which I suggest that you review, but I want to focus one thought, which is that you have Pisces on the third house, third solar house if you're Cap Sun, third whole sign house if you are Cap Rising. And there's something really beautiful about Pisces on the third house, because it means that it suggests that you are tuned into the more ethereal level of what makes communication effective, and the beauty of communication, and the inherently sacred quality of the words that we use and the ideas that we express. But with Pisces there, there's also a need for validation, verification, fact-checking, as they say on the internet these days, to make sure that your ideas are applicable and that they are workable, that they're useful, that they're actually helpful to you. And there is so much going on in Pisces right now that I would suggest it is vital that you stay very close to your process of assessment of what is true and what is not true. The main activity going on in Pisces right now is that Mercury is retrograding into a conjunction with Neptune in Pisces, in your third house of words, thoughts, ideas, and communication. And if you ride this astrology out in a fully aware way, you will get a lot of information of what is true and what is not in terms of your thinking. The problem is that, as you know, the internet has organized things into bubbles, and that there is this dangerous tendency that people have to not entertain viewpoints that are not their own accepted viewpoint. And this leads people into a downward spiral of essentially thinking one viewpoint is true and doing so, not really exploring other viewpoints. And to do so is often associated with the idea that to consider something, you have to accept it. And I'm not saying that you need to be accepting anything. What I'm saying is that it would be very helpful if you contemplated viewpoints that are antithetical to what you believe. That is to say, listen to what the other side is saying. And after you've listened to what the other side is saying for a while, and you do your best to relate to that, look at what three or four other sides are saying. Live a circumspect viewpoint. That is the real beauty of Pisces, is its ability to be circumspect. Pisces is, after all, the delta of Venus. Pisces is where all things in the zodiac ultimately flow. It is the end of the journey, and today, doing this reading, the sun is in the last degree of Pisces, really. And this is encouragement to condition yourself to be circumspect, to be willing to look around at the tree from every angle of approach before you decide what that tree really is about, and to consider what's going on underneath the tree and feel the tree and climb the tree before you determine that you know everything about the tree. That tree could be anything. It could be a personal matter. It could be a person. It could be a political thing. It could be something that you're doing, that you're involved with, an opinion, a viewpoint, something that you're writing. And as an editor, I'm a strong believer in suggesting that my writers really understand the other side of an issue and be able to argue that side, even if it's a hypothetical type of an argument, and further, be able to draw some inferences and reasonable information from the other side. You're really bright people are going to be people who can be conversant with anyone with any viewpoint. And with Pisces on the third, you have that ability to shapeshift into anyone's reality. There's also a thing about Capricorn that I've just noticed from encountering people in real life and listening to what they say, which is a kind of a skeptical quality that is almost on the level of suspicious. And this is not intelligent. When considering an idea, it is not helpful to consider the idea with the notion, I think you're wrong, but I'm going to listen to what you say, and I'm going to handle it with big, thick gloves on because I don't really want to get too close to the idea. You need a more mature, genuinely curious approach to your thought process than something like that, to really listen to what people have to say and engage them in discussion wherein you leave yourself open to the possibility of changing your mind. You leave yourself open to the possibility of being persuaded of something that you accept based on careful consideration of many points of view and of the different angles of approach to the idea. One of the really grievous things about our time in history is that most people are partisan thinkers at this time in history and accept their ideas about what is right and wrong as part of a slate. Like, you check off all the boxes that would officially make you a liberal or a conservative or whatever, rather than taking things issue by issue and standing in the integrity of independently determining for yourself what is right and what is wrong based on many different factors, and being able to trace the origin of your thoughts, to fact check yourself and say, I started here and then I learned that and I learned that and I learned that and then I considered that and that was persuasive and that wasn't persuasive and that seemed like a completely ridiculous line of reasoning based on the following, and then I ended up here. To know how you got from one point in your thinking process to another point in your thinking process. There can be a lack of clarity with Pisces on the third, and particularly with Neptune in Pisces in the third, and that can lend itself to denial. It can lend itself to some delusion. It can lend itself to various forms of deception, including being subject to being deceived, or if you believe something and then you represent that idea, possibly deceiving others. And the way to protect yourself against being deceived is not to not accept anything, but rather to consider things carefully and size up what makes sense and what doesn't make sense based on a circumspect approach approach from as many angles as you can, and particularly being mindful of being a lazy thinker. You know, it takes work to think things through, and as Bono says, having a conscience can be a pest. So let yourself be pestered and do the right thing. All right, let's look at some tarot cards. By the way, big career stuff going on with this Libra full moon. Though I suggest that you work your plan for a while, work your plan and then put it into action, rather than leaping into action here in these last very intriguing days of Mercury retrograde. And the newest edition of Planet Waves FM, available on the Intelligence website and also on planetwaves.fm. I go into detail, exciting, intriguing detail, about the combination of the full moon that's happening on Wednesday and this long process of Mercury stationing direct conjunct Neptune in your third house of thinking, writing, and expressing yourself. All right, let's drop some tarot cards and see what we get in this rendering of reality. I'm using the Handle deck, co-created with Rachel Pollack. Pardon. I'm going to leave the silence in. You can probably hear the background noise. I'm working on my mobile setup. Sometimes I do that doing these readings to get away from my normal broadcast cockpit. And the table's bigger so I can spread out a little bit. So, different microphone, different type of microphone, a condenser microphone. Which means you can probably hear that background noise. All right. Okay, Eight of Swords, stay out of your own way. This is kind of what I'm getting at with the third house stuff, is this quality of being over-skeptical at the same time as overthinking, at the same time as thinking that suspicion is a valid form of curiosity. It's really not a valid form of curiosity. Suspicion is like the opposite of curiosity, and what you want to fund your thinking with is curiosity. And the way you know that it's curiosity is that it's fun and playful. So stay out of your own way. We'll find out more about what that card is about. Okay, the card that covers you, the Significator card, center card in the spread, the Ace of Cups. So that's like the self-love chakra. This is the being emotionally centered. So that's a good start. But we're looking at being emotionally centered at the same time. There's a tendency to overthink, and so be careful when you feel like you're running your mind, and your mind is starting to overheat, right? Running your mind with anxiety or planning or running conversations over and over again, wishing you'd said something different. See if you can use any spiritual techniques to bring yourself back to your center and just stay grounded in your feelings and grounded in your body. And by the way, by feelings, I don't mean emoting. I mean being receptive to your feelings rather than expressing your feelings. Emoting is to express, and to feel is to receive. Okay, Three of Swords comes up here, which is suggesting a recent severance or loss. I don't know what that's about. You may. This is all the more reason to stay centered on your feelings and to be receptive, and to not use any recent events of the world as a reason to be unloving towards yourself. Card at the bottom of the spread on the left is the Six of Cups. The Six of Cups is anything with a six in the tarot has got a really strong signature to it, because it relates to the sephirot of the Kabbalah, the Tree of Life, called Tiferet, which is at the middle of the tree. It's the thing that binds the whole Tree of Life and therefore tarot system together. And it is about beauty. And Six of Cups is about the beauty of pleasure. The card is called Happiness in this deck. It's a card with a distinct erotic overtone in some decks, and in this particular deck, the authors have called it happiness. So there's a possibility of, you know, like looking back to not too long ago, when you might have felt that you were truly happy, and it's like, well, now what do you do? Well, one thing that you're going to use to carry forward, because all these cards that we have on this side of the spread, the three, the eight, and the six, kind of fall off, and we move into the future, and you're going to take with you the Ace of Cups, and that becomes the Three of Pentacles, a card of work. Some decks call it mastery. It's a very solid card in my experience. In the Rider-Waite deck, the first popular deck with illustrations in the minor arcana, that's the one where there's a journeyman making an installation in a cathedral, which he would not be doing were he not talented artist. So the three of Pentacles, in this case Three of Stones, is the card of the journeyman. That is to say, the person at the prime of their work, approaching mastery. Not a master yet, but a journeyman. If you're going to have somebody fix your plumbing, you want a journeyman plumber. If you're going to have somebody do woodwork, journeyman woodworker is fine. Good enough to put an installation into a cathedral, right? A master, that's another issue. And what you want is the, and to be, is to be the journeyman who is aspiring to the highest quality work. I love the Grateful Dead line. Storyteller makes no choice. Soon you will not hear his voice. His job is to shed light and not to master. So the journeyman sheds light, and sheds light through the good work that that he or she, in this case you, are doing. In the placement of resistance down in the lower right hand is the Two of Swords. So we have an abundance of swords cards in the spread. We have the Eight, the Three, and the Two. And what we've got going on is that the Eight, the interference card, the card saying that you might be in your own way, get out of your own way, is in the position of what you aspire to, and the Two is in the position of what you don't want. So first word of caution: make sure that you actually want peace of mind. Make sure that you're not aspiring to get in your own way, that you're not doing things that intentionally interfere with your ability to feel, receive, and think, and have your mind be at peace. And second, make sure that you're not actively resisting peace of mind. I'm going to take the prerogative and switch these two on your behalf, so that the eight, interference, being in your own way, goes into what you don't want, which you do not want to get in your own way, and move the Two of Swords into the direction that you want to go, seeking peace of mind. Hence, now the first card is the Ace of Cups of self-love. The second card is happiness in the past. The third is this severance or separation in the recent past. And what you aspire to is peace of mind. Moving forward into the Three of Pentacles, which is work. Journeyman. Your job is to shed light and not to master. Looking at the relationship sector, I use two cards in this position. Two nines have come up. I usually turn them over one at a time, and in this case, I turn them over both at the same time, and I'm looking at a pair of nines. And this pair of nines is saying, hang out with people who actually have some integrity. By that, I mean people who are willing to admit when they're wrong, people who express humility, people who are not all about defending their position, people who are honest, who are flexible, and who are strong, and more than anything, who are happy, who draw things to them because they have love in their hearts, and that's the thing that matters the most to them. There are a lot of uptight people who claim that their rigid quality is integrity, and that their adherence to a certain dogma or doctrine or ideology is integrity. That is not true, in my opinion. In my opinion, my experience, the ability to be flexible in your thinking, to be able to draw ideas from many sources, the ability to be able to integrate ideas, and the ability to be able to withstand scrutiny, those things are integrity. And so you can tell someone has integrity when you ask them a question and they give you a straight answer to the question. You can tell someone is happy because they're not always fighting with the world, but rather doing everything in their power to get along with the world on honest terms. So whatever happened in the past, whatever this Three of Swords is about, turn toward the future and look for people who possess some strength and some joy in their hearts, and who are flexible enough to be able to respond honestly to questions, and let's see. I think, treat you well. What you're going to get from people pulling this double nine are people who treat you with respect who seek to understand you. And the implication here, by the way, is you've got something to learn from the people around you, and that the people to hang out with are the people who possess integrity in the style that I have described, and also who you feel are good examples. All right, we end up on the top right with the Three of Cups. Overflowing, joy, abundance, happiness. The threes are tend to be very strong cards in the tarot, and you've got three threes and two nines. We're on a kind of and a six. We're doing a lot of multiples of three right now, including this thing that went, you know, seems to have gone wrong. And I would suggest that it's not likely to be so wrong. What happened? It is likely that you needed to remove whatever you removed from your life so that you could be with people more suited for you, be with situations more suited for you, be with more honest and grounded and loving people, and let go of the past. A thing indicated in this Saturn-Pluto South Node configuration that is so active in your chart right now, and move forward in your life. Not be hung up. Skepticism ain't going to get you there. Curiosity will. We end with the universe, lower the card, the way down there, the lower part of the deck, the second outcome and the verification card. I leave a card in to verify the reading, and we get the universe. It's a card represented by Saturn. In the older decks, it is the world, and in the newer decks, they tend to call it the universe. I guess in the deck of the future, they'll call it the multiverse. And this is suggesting that you are on solid ground, and that you are you have learned something very important from recent events. All right, happy full mooning, and thank you for tuning in. Thank you again for your patience and for your business and for your support of Planet Waves. I would strongly advise, if you haven't already had access to it, getting access to the Capricorn reading in the Intelligence series. It's an extended reading. It's not quite book length, but it's getting there. And it's really one of the most beautiful things I feel I've ever written in astrology. This year, the Aries and the Capricorn readings, we made sure that everyone who subscribed to Intelligence got those two readings. And there's a lot of information in there that will serve you for years. Happy, once again, new season. And you know where to reach me if you need to, efc@bookofblue.com. All right. Thank you once again, and bye for now.